She's one of the country's most read cultural critics, author of the bestsellers Sexual Personae and Break, Blow, Burn. Camille Paglia has now turned her attention to Western art's defining moments in her new book, Glittering Images, A Journey Through Art from Egypt to Star Wars. And she's on the phone with me this morning from her office at the University of the Arts in Philadelphia. Good morning, Camille.
Good morning, Mark.
I want to begin in the new book at the introduction because you really raised my eyebrows more than once in talking about the decline of art. And you mention in the introduction how it was listening to American AM talk radio over the past two decades that really inspired you to write this book.
Yes, I'm a constant listener to AM radio, which I feel is a populist medium. And I was very concerned about the low opinion of art and artists expressed by both the host and the callers. Artists are portrayed as hoaxers, con men, and so on. And the reason for this seems to me quite natural. That is that series of ridiculous controversies over sacrilegious art in the 1980s and 90s that almost led to the abolishment of the National Endowment for the Arts. And I say, you know, ridiculous because the works that were the cause of this furor were very low quality, and the art world's uncritical embrace, you know, of those works and support of the artists in those cases communicated to the mainstream audience that the art world is frivolous, anti-religious, anti-American, nihilistic. And the end result of this is that art programs for school children have been cut nationwide in budget crunches. So I think the art world needs to do some soul searching. And similarly, I think conservatives need to realize that those particular lousy pieces of art are not, in fact, typical of the greatness of the art tradition.
Indeed. You speak to the history of art and talk about art survey classes at universities and how they have fallen to the side. And really, the mass media, the digital world has been really affecting the art world as well, as we are just, well, as you say, overstimulated and just a swirling barrage of disconnected data. Is the digital world contributing to the decline of art?
Oh, absolutely. Culture is evolving in a technological direction. There's no way to stop that. There's no reason to lament it because, you know, society always makes these great leaps forward. But it's up to educators, it seems to me, to identify what is being lost in that process, and then to try to supply it, which I've tried to do with this, you know, with this book, Glittering Images, which is an introduction to the history of the arts, and an attempt to train people to see how complex works of art can be. But what I say in the introduction to the book is that industrial design and engineering are really thriving right now. For most young people, their primary aesthetic experiences are involved in these beautiful handheld devices, which they personalize and so on. So, but this is not optimal because an iPhone, does not have a soul. It does not have a spiritual dimension, and there is no attachment to the object. As soon as the next model comes out, you discard the old one. Right? So we're in this kind of instant obsolescence society. But just what you said, this barrage of visual images and also sounds coming at us from every direction, whether it's Twitter and Facebook, or it's video screens on top of gas pumps, or embedded into taxi cabs in New York in the backs of the seats, or in the back of the airline seats. Everything coming at us from every direction, meaningless fragments. This is, in my opinion, as a career educator, what this is doing to people, and especially young people, is forcing parts of the brain to shut down. It's the only way you can survive this kind of assault on us from every direction. And I think this is very dangerous because it means that creativity, intuition, observation, all these things are negatively affected by this aggressive environment that we are immersed in, which is why I think the only way to liberate yourself, liberate your mind, liberate your eye, is by contemplation in quiet, in solitude, of great visual images, which I've tried to supply in this book.
I also sense that in this immediate gratification digital world, that is something else that's affecting art. People don't have the patience to create. And you talk about how painting, which has really been the supreme form of expression over centuries, has really fallen by the wayside because everyone wants something right now, doesn't want to take the time to invest in that creative culture.
Well, that's true, but there are other also reasons for this decline of the once, you know, great prestige and centrality of painting since the Renaissance, and that is that after the 1960s, my generation, when I was in college, all kinds of other media suddenly appeared. It's this multimedia approach to art. My hero, Andy Warhol, began as a commercial illustrator, then a painter, and then he started working in video, okay? And then you've got, land art and performance art and installation art, all kinds of other ways for the artist to express himself or herself. But unfortunately, the fact remains that paintings, great paintings since the Renaissance, have actually been the most complex, the subtlest, okay, of all the art forms, I think, in the history of the world, and some of the greatest works ever done, okay, were achieved in painting. So when painting declines and becomes marginal, as it is right now and has been for decades, then what that means is that young artists are cut off from their greatest lineage.
You, in this book, do a survey of art, as you say, from Egypt to Star Wars, but you limit it to only, less than 30 images. Was it difficult in trying to capture the span of art through the centuries and limit yourself?
My aim was to make as slim a book as possible, okay? But that it still took 5 years to do, to reduce. It's a 29 chapters, and simplicity is hard, okay? So it's intended for the general reader, to invite the general reader in. Of course, it was extremely difficult to decide which works it should be, and I lament how many styles and artists I had to leave out. Nevertheless, I think it's a good mix of major artworks that people know and also obscure artworks they may never have encountered. And so I think there are a lot of surprises, including what I say at the end in my final chapter, that George Lucas's Revenge of the Sith, the last film made in the Star Wars saga from 2005, is in fact a much greater and more ambitious and more emotionally powerful work of art than anything else I could find to end the book. I looked everywhere, in the contemporary art scene. There is good work being done, but I'm afraid it is extremely derivative. Okay, every time I look at a work of contemporary art, I can think of 10 things that preceded it, okay, that resemble it, and great things that began that particular style. So the contemporary art scene, I'm sorry to say, has flatlined, and the art world now, because of the art market, which is extremely lucrative. The art market was created following the death of Jackson Pollock by his wife Lee Krasner and her shrewd marketing of his works, and they had lived in poverty, but all of a sudden you can become a millionaire by being an artist today. This has corrupted the art world and corrupted art criticism. So there is gross overpraise of very mediocre work right now in the contemporary art scene.
Well, as you're going around and talking about this book around the country, are you getting pushback from contemporary artists and art institutions? I can imagine some of these statements could be very inflammatory to some who feel they are in the know.
Yes, I mean there is a tremendous amount of ego and money, okay, invested in propping up the contemporary art scene. So, but I think that is the strength of my book. My book is saying to conservatives, you are right. I agree with you, okay, that the contemporary art scene is sterile. That has nothing to say to the people. I agree with you, but that does not excuse you, okay, from your obligation to inform yourself about art and to expose your children to it. So one of my audiences, my target audience, is a conservative, church-going, homeschooling moms whose voices I heard on talk radio all these years. At the same time, I'm saying to liberals, secular humanism is in a very decayed state right now, okay? And you have actually nothing to say. There is nothing to say because you have abandoned the old principle, which I am maintaining in this book, that art is spiritual. Art has a spiritual message. I'm not saying a religious message. I'm saying a spiritual message, and that the artistic mission is spiritual. And I can say this because I'm a professed atheist, right, who respects religion. So I think the sneering at religion that has become so so symptomatic, you know, of the hip scene and in universities and urban magazines and so on, is associated with Christopher Hitchens and so on. There's nothing really interesting to me or exciting coming out of either arts or letters right now. And in the real creative energy is in these other fields, like animation and digital work. That's where the young people are putting all of their creative energy. So we need to return, though, to the idea of quality in art, of complexity, of asking why do some works last, you know, and exposing ourselves to them. I think there's a tremendous kind of not only an artistic cultivation that comes from contemplating great art, but also a spiritual expansion, a tremendous serenity. That's what I'm saying. And you do not need to go to a museum to do that. You can just sit at home with a book, just staring at these images, letting your eye rove free, and you will feel this magical thing that comes to you from great works of art.
Well, Camille Paglia, thank you for putting in words some of the feelings I've had in the not-so-recent past.
Well, thank you, Mark.
Camille Paglia, the author of Glittering Images, A Journey Through Art from Egypt to Star Wars, with, as she said, a lot of beautiful full-color, full-page reproductions of the great art through the centuries. You can find it where books are sold, and you can visit WVXU.org to learn more about Camille and the book Glittering Images.